neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is the show about food and agriculture, and especially about the people who have devoted their lives and passions to growing and making food for us all. Today we talk to two folks who are living out their dream, struggling against climate surprises, building up the quality of their soil, going back to some older traditions in order to do so, and producing some fine food in the process.
We actually have something really cool now going with the Comfort Inn, the Airport Inn in St. John's. We give them some 5-gallon pails, and they put all of their peelings and coffee grounds, tea bags in these buckets, and it's worked out really well. They're really excited that they're having less and less waste that they're putting out, and they're excited for us that we're able to take this green matter and use it with our brown matter on the farm for composting.
This province has a glorious glut of intriguing place names. You likely have your favorites, Jerry's Nose, Heart's Delight. One of my favorite gems is Fairyland. What a set of images that sets loose in my mind as I drive into the town on a lovely sunny day in August. The capelin are rolling and the whales are breaching. The tourist promoters better be here taking pictures, as it doesn't get any better than this. I'm here to talk to two farmers. They grow garlic. A lot of garlic. And other things. And they produce a variety of soil amendments from traditional ingredients. Their operation is called the Natural Gardener. We're going to tour the farm, have a chat, hopefully taste some garlic. Join us.
Well, my name's Brian Yeager, and my wife Jane and I live in Fairyland. And we have a farm with mixed vegetables, but mainly garlic we grow here in Fairyland.
What inspired you to grow garlic?
Well, we've grown garlic ourselves for many years. One year we grew quite a bit of garlic. We had 1,000 garlic in the field, we decided, and then we decided to go into St. John's to visit some restaurants and see whether they might be interested in taking some of our local garlic. And the first restaurant we went into, they said, "How much have you got?" We said, "Well, we have 1,000 garlic." They said, "We'll take it all." Well, we thought, geez, maybe we're onto something here. We're going to make a few bucks this year. So subsequent years, we started planting more garlic along with other vegetables.
One of the things I find interesting is that there are a number of what I would call second career farmers in Newfoundland and Labrador who have made significant contributions to our foodscapes. And I think it's fair to say that this is a second career for the both of you?
Yes.
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 Did you ever, in your first career, imagine you'd be a garlic farmer in Fairyland, Newfoundland?
Never, never. I'm a nurse practitioner, and I worked in Toronto and Montreal, and Brian worked in business, so we never imagined it, but it's a wonderful way to continue learning and to keep physically active.
And if you had told us 16 years ago that we would be living in Newfoundland when we lived in Ontario, Southern Ontario, and working and farming here now, I wouldn't have believed it, but this just seems so natural. This is a great way of life for us, and we're really enjoying it, and we're having a lot of fun at it too.
Yeah. Do you know other second career farmers that you talk to around in the area?
There are some in the St. John's area, yeah, and around, and we know farmers. We also know a lot of gardeners who have taken up the sport, if you will, of gardening and growing their own food in their own backyard. And we're really excited about that. We're by no means experts in farming or gardening, and we're learning as we go along, but we learn from one another, and we get a lot of questions asked on growing things. And we try to help out other farmers too, as well as they help us out. Mm-hmm. And it's real passion for us. Yeah. We really enjoy doing it.
So I want to quibble with you just a moment, because you said you're not experts, but I think a lot of people sort of expect that you know the answer to many questions, because there's not a lot of garlic growers in Newfoundland and Labrador. Did you learn that through, how did you learn your knowledge, such as it is, from about garlic?
Well, we've done a lot of research. We've read a lot of books. We've talked to a lot of people. And a few years ago, before we got into this in a big way, we took a 5-day trip to Southern Ontario, which is pretty much the garlic capital of Ontario, or perhaps Canada. around the Stratford area, and we talked to a number of growers there. We're relatively small. We have about an acre under garlic right now, but one of the growers we talked to back then, he had a 400-acre farm with 100 acres in garlic. Now, the reason he had 400 acres is garlic is a four-year crop rotation, so he needed that 100 acres. He had 3.25 million garlic in the ground. That was pretty impressive.
And we got to learn some very specific things about harvesting, curing, and storing garlic. And those are key things. It has to do with the when you harvest, it has to do with the humidity levels when you harvest and how you dry it quickly with fans and the temperature drop and so on. And these are all things that we learn from that person who does it on a big scale.
For those who are eating garlic and trying to figure out how to store it, just a little sidebar here. What do you do with the garlic once you get it from the store or from the farm? What's the best way to store it?
When you bring it home, you do not refrigerate it.
Okay.
Because if you refrigerate it, then the garlic will tend to start growing the green coming out the top.
That's happened to me.
There's nothing wrong with the garlic. You can still eat it, but it won't last that long. We keep it in the pantry. We just keep it in a bowl in the pantry, and it lasts for a long time once you bring it home.
And I'm assuming that the garlic has been stored well before I got it. So when you have your garlic and get it out of the field, how do you prepare it before you have it available?
That's where the humidity and the temperature comes into effect. You need to have low humidity and high temperature with air blowing on it with fans.
It's a good thing because Newfoundland is all about low humidity and high temperature.
Yeah, quite the opposite, as you know.
Quite the opposite.
So we do that in a temperature-controlled environment we have. So we're able to do that kind of environment. And it's about a 3 to 4 week process. Yeah. The important thing to anyone harvesting garlic out there is you keep the roots on the bulb when you take it out of the ground. And you also keep the full leaf, the full stem on the plant, until it turns yellow, until it's dry enough. It's very important that you don't cut off the roots or the stem too prematurely because the bulb will not mature correctly that way.
So you started off going to one restaurant and you had a very positive response. Your market now is still to restaurants mostly?
Mostly to restaurants. We have a few new restaurants that we started with, but we like to be able to supply just a few restaurants and keep them happy, and we've developed a good rapport with the restaurants, so it's kind of enjoyable for us. We know the chefs, and they know us, and they know the quality that they're getting.
We also sell to individuals. When we first started, we had a very limited quantity of garlic, and so various people asked if they could buy some, and we said, we'll put you on the list, meaning that if we can, we'll supply you with some. So at that point, 5 years ago, we had a list on the fridge of people, you know, we knew in different communities or people who had called us. So now we have larger quantity, and so we're hoping to be able to sell more widely. And we do sell at the Agri-Foods garden show in the fall. But more and more people are reaching us on Facebook and asking to be put on the list.
Do you have advice for young farmers who are starting out in terms of getting a market or getting some feedback on how well you're doing on it?
Well, our experience is that the chefs, you know, the product that they're going to serve to people in restaurants is actually a measure of their success. So it's very helpful to have them evaluate the food so that they come and they, you know, they smell the garlic, they touch it, they squeeze it, you know, they evaluate it for its quality. So in terms of young farmers starting out, Brian does a lot of on the phone consultations, which he's really happy to do. Almost every day someone calls to ask about something about planting or gardening. I think the encouragement to young farmers is to not try too many things all at once, but certainly garlic grows very well in this climate. Mm-hmm. So it's not a hard thing to grow. And last year, because we are asked the same questions all the time, we developed a handout, How to Grow Garlic in Newfoundland and Labrador. And we worked on it really carefully to make it so easy that anyone who knows nothing about gardening would be able to follow the instructions.
Right. How would people get a copy of this handout?
We'll give you a copy for sure, and we have on Facebook, The Natural Gardener, Inc. We can be contacted that way. And the real nice thing, too, about that sheet, that we're handing those out at garden centers because in addition to the restaurants and individuals, in the fall of the year, we sell our garlic to garden centers. And the reason why they're buying it is customers are coming in and looking for seed garlic. Mm-hmm. So basically what a seed garlic is, it's the garlic bulb, which is broken into individual cloves and then planted in the ground. So we're excited that people in Newfoundland and Labrador are starting to grow their own garlic in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. After the recorder was off, I asked Jane and Brian about a possible song to use with this interview. Brian sings in a barbershop quartet, so he suggested a barbershop version of something like Bill Grogan's Goat. I could have done that, but after listening to a few versions, I asked them again a few months later. Well, they thought, there was a guy who lived in Fairyland for a while, and he wrote a few songs. Why not play something from him? Something that includes a reference to farming. Here's Ron Hines with Sonny's Dream.
Sonny lives on a farm, on a wide open space. You could take off your shoes, give up the race. You could lay down your head by a sweet riverbed. But Sonny always remembers what it was his mama said. Oh, Sonny, don't. I am all alone. Your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. All these nights get so long, and the silence goes on, and I'm feeling so tired, not all that strong. Sonny carries a load, though he's barely a man. There ain't all that to do, still he does what he can. And he watches the sea from a room by the stairs, and the waves keep on rolling. They've done that for years and years. Oh, Sonny, don't go away, I am here all alone. Your dad, he's a sailor who never comes home. All these nights get so long, the silence goes on, and I'm feeling so tired, not all that strong.
I'm speaking with Jane and Brian Yeager of The Natural Gardener. We start off the segment by talking about some of the compost experiments that they've been doing on their farm.
One of the other things that you do here, or you're known for, is the compost experiments that you're doing with various products. I'll let you tell. Yes. What kinds of things do you put in your compost?
Compost, a very important part of compost is it has some green matter and some brown matter. For the brown matter, which is the carbon, we're using a lot of kelp, we're using some animal manures. We stockpile a lot of leaves in the fall. Leaves are excellent for brown matter. But the green matter is something you get from eggshells and from waste from vegetable peelings and fruits and stuff like that. And we actually have something really cool now going with the Comfort Inn, the Airport Inn in St. John's in the kitchen. We give them some 5-gallon pails with lids, and they put all of their peelings and coffee grounds, tea bags in these buckets. And we go in when we're going into town on a regular basis, and we grab those full ones and we exchange them for clean empty ones. And it's worked out really well. They're really excited that they're having less and less waste that they're putting out. Mm-hmm. And they're excited for us that we're able to take this green matter and use it with our brown matter on the farm for compost. Mm-hmm.
And you use Capelin as well?
Capelin? Yes, we do Capelin. Yes. Yeah. And it's just around Capelin time here
it
now.
It is indeed.
In this part of Newfoundland on the Avalon. Yeah. We've been down to the beach several times in the last couple of weeks. and those capelin are rolling, and they high nitrogen content, and they're very good for organic matter. So we use that in the compost, but we also dig big trenches up on the farm. We're looking towards next year's growing, next spring. So we dig the trenches and we bury the capelin in the trench and we fill that up, and then we plant cover crops on there, which in the spring we'll till in and then plant our vegetables for next year.
So there's a lot of discussion about trying to build more agricultural capacity in the province. Do you have any favorite suggestions about what are some things that would help with new farmers or existing farmers?
The idea of fruits and vegetables not to have to travel as far as they do is a really exciting notion for us. Most people do their shopping in a Sobeys or Dominion or a grocery store. It would be nice to see more local products in those stores. I guess it's a matter of consumers getting the buy-in to local, which tends to be a little bit more expensive than what we see in the stores now. But if we can get that chain, that distribution chain going, I think down the road it'll help farmers, and we'll also be able to put more fresh local produce in people's kitchens.
What is it that consumers want from their food these days? Is it different than what it used to be?
I think people want food that they might be able to relate to in terms of its history. So if you go into a large store, a warehouse, grocery, then you're getting foods from all around the world. And what I often think of is, I don't know what their environmental practices are. So those are wonderful fruits from halfway around the world, but I don't know if they're safe foods. I don't know if they were picked at the right time and how long have they been in a truck and so on. So I think people want to know that their food was either grown in their own garden or by someone they know whose practices they respect. So we don't put poison on our food. We don't put herbicides, pesticides, and we use kelp and capelin and other fish offal to improve the soil.
Do you find that the way in which you raise garlic here is different than what you'd have to raise in Stratford, Ontario, where you're there? Like, are there different kinds of treatments you'd have to do with garlic there because it's a different climate?
Yeah, our climate here is very conducive to growing garlic. You need a certain soil fertility, but you also need a certain amount of moisture. Particularly in years or springs like this, we've been getting a lot of rainfall. Yep. So the garlic's been really happy. As far as what's been going on in southern Ontario, from what I know of, they've had some really hot temperatures and some lack of moisture. So I'm sure in order to get good quality garlic, they're watering. But, you know, that's a lot of extra effort in order to do that.
One of the things that vibrant kind of food-producing areas have is often clusters of people who talk to each other a lot, and they share information, and they know each other, and so on and so forth, even if they don't always get along, but at least they know each other. And that's something that in some areas of Newfoundland and Labrador, we have very few farmers. They're back in the end of the woods. How do you keep connected to other farmers?
Yeah, Facebook's a big thing. In real life, face-to-face, we don't sell out of the market in St. John's on Saturday, but we do go in from time to time, and we like to chat up the farmers at their stands there, so we're learning what they have on the go. There aren't really a lot of farmers in the Fairyland area or even on the Southern Shore, but there are a lot of gardeners. You know, they have 1,000, 2,000 square foot gardens, and they're growing a lot, so we share our experiences a lot with them. Mm-hmm. You know, we watch for one another going to the beach to go and get the capelin and that kind of stuff. And when we're down there, we have a few discussions. There are some gardeners here in Fairyland that have absolutely beautiful vegetable gardens, mm-hmm. and are growing some unbelievable vegetables, mm-hmm. in their mm-hmm. garden. And it's really impressive. We've learned a lot, mm-hmm. from quite a few of them.
Do you think people like that understand that they are part of this whole project of increasing food self-sufficiency?
They're not thinking about it, but from their actions, they're becoming part of it. And what they're doing is they're not necessarily selling from a roadside stand, but they're giving away most of their produce to their neighbors and to their relatives, mm-hmm. and they're making food hampers and bringing them to some elderly citizens in the community, and it's absolutely wonderful. They're unsung heroes, really. They don't really advertise it, but in talking to them, I know exactly what they're doing, and they're really passionate about it.
Sun is dreams can't be real. They're just stories he's read. They're just stars in his eyes. They're just dreams in his head. And he's hungry inside for the wide world outside. And I know I can't hold him, though I tried and I tried and I tried. Oh, son, it don't go away. I am here all alone. Your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. All these nights get so long. The silence goes on and I'm feeling so tired, not all that strong. Oh, son, it don't go away, I am here all alone. Your daddy's a sailor who never comes home. All these nights get so long. The silence goes on and I'm feeling so tired, not all that strong.
Today on Fit to Eat, I'm speaking with farmers Brian and Jane Yeager in Fairyland. They not only tend about the largest garlic field I've seen in the province, but they make some wonderful soil amendments, even if some of them, the ones with the fish offal in them, are pretty potent to the senses. And they freely share their knowledge with anyone who's interested.
The other piece of self-sufficiency is gathering, hunting, fishing, which we don't collect good data on because people will feel like you're from DFO if you're asking about that, so they would answer or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's still, that kind of self-sufficiency is still operating in this area?
They're, you know, hunting birds and rabbits, mm-hmm. And that type of thing. I know of one particular individual, he will not go to a grocery store and buy meat in the cooler there. He will only put in his freezer stuff that he gathers, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. catches on his own, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Of course, the moose hunt is still on the go here. There are some small chicken farmers. So they get their own eggs every day and that kind of thing. And
how did you get, what are the issues is getting access to land for young farmers or whatever? How did you get access to the land that you use now?
We were extremely fortunate in how we got it. We're farming on some crown land, mm-hmm. not too far from our house. And back in 1981, a fellow in the community, he acquired that lease and had mm-hmm. it surveyed. And he had it until he approached us 5 years ago, knowing that we were getting into farming and wanted to get into some commercial farming. He wasn't using it to its full extent, and he asked us whether we would be interested in taking it off his hands, essentially. And we were delighted to do that, because nowadays, to get crown land, my understanding is it's up to a 2-year process to get the land to go through the approval. And what we did is we just signed a form. He signed it, we signed it. We paid $150 to the government, and the lease was transferred over to our names.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
was previously surveyed from him back in 81. Mm-hmm. It was so easy. It was ridiculously easy compared to what people are going mm-hmm. through right now.
Yeah. I know you go to conferences, because I was at one in January where you received an award from the Federation of Agriculture for environmental farm stewardship.
Yes, environmental sustainability and doing things on the farm by using the capelin and the kelp and not using any herbicides or pesticides. And we have some farm equipment, as you've seen, up mm-hmm. on the farm for help us do a few tasks, but we don't own a tractor. And what we do in that respect is, a tractor is not something that you use 40 hours a week. You use it maybe a few hours a month type thing, depending on the size of your farm. And our size farm, that's all we need. So we've been able to rent a tractor the last 3 falls when we needed to prepare the land for planting the garlic in October.
Were you surprised when you got the award?
Yeah, we were actually.
Yeah.
We were delighted. Yeah. We were delighted to get that award, and we felt very honored in order to get it. There are, you know, 500 farms mm-hmm. in Newfoundland, Labrador, and for some reason they called on us to get the award, and it continues to inspire us, yeah. and what we're doing is the right thing as far as our farming goes. Yeah.
When you started, did you set out to do sustainable farming? You had sort of some goals in mind based on what you wanted to accomplish, or did you find that was partly the most efficient way to farm?
Well, we learned as we went along, but one of the first things we learned when we started farming here is people used a lot of kelp. There's a lot of kelp available on the beach, and we heard stories from people about growing potatoes in kelp, growing things in nothing but kelp, and some animal manures in order to get some nitrogen in there. So what we started doing is, well, let's go down to the beach and get some kelp. And, you know, we'd be down there with our truck and we'd have people driving by and honking and say, there are those CFAs gathering kelp on the beach again, you know. These people who used to gather kelp, they're not gathering kelp anymore, but they're looking at us. So we brought a lot of that up to the farm, and that's really enhanced our soil, organic matter in the soil. It's also helped to bring up the pH. Our soil was very acidic when we took it over, but now it's more neutral, so which is a lot better for growing garlic as well as other vegetables.
Mm-hmm. You asked, did we plan to do it this way? And I mean, we have grown food in Ontario and in Montreal for many years, and we've never put chemicals on our food. What I think is so interesting now, and the potential for young farmers and older, more experienced people, is to learn about how the health of the soil impacts the food that we grow. I'm always listening to podcasts about that because it's a very encouraging thing. Most people say here in Newfoundland, well, you know, there's the soil, and they shrug because it is rock and with very little topsoil. But if we can learn about how to improve the soil, then nature does it. So given the right constituents and microorganisms in the soil, we can produce food. I think we would do well to learn more about, and maybe it's just cutting edge, maybe scientists are just beginning to learn all the different environments that exist in the soil. But I think that would be a place to begin.
If you're going to have people from away come and eat, what sort of meal do you serve them that is your favorite?
Okay, this would be the standard menu. Very often, our meals start with Caesar salad, which you've just had, and then cod and potatoes and onions and some other vegetables, and then berries. My favorite month of the entire year is the month of November. When it gets really cold, it's an absolute thrill to pick cranberries out on the ocean, you know, on the cliffs. Mm-hmm. And so I have a group of friends and we call each other and we're out there and we'll be out there for hours and hours and hours. So my freezer is just filled with cranberries until there isn't another space in it.
Well, by November, the flies are gone.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
They were bad today when we were on the farm, the flies, but they won't be around
for too much
longer. I
noticed the odd fly. Yeah. Yeah. That meant that the compost was working, though.
Yes.
I thought, this is what it's like on a really compost-rich
well
farm.
Up there. Yes.
The soil is good. Flies live there, you know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for everything, for showing your farm and the lovely meal and for the conversation, the great conversation, and the wonderful garlic.
Thanks for coming to visit, and please come back again sometime.
Yeah,
thank you, Ivan. Yeah. Wonderful to talk about food and share the joys of growing your own food.
I must admit that we were pretty slow in heading out of town. The sun was still on the water, our bellies were full of good tastes, and our minds were crowded with fine possibilities. It's no wonder that I get my inspiration from the innovators, the homesteaders, the ambitiously eager, the bemused, those who face the land and climate and rest from it, food. We have them to thank, not just for the nutrition they provide, but for the spirit they infuse in all that they do.
So interesting now is to learn about how the health of the soil impacts the food that we grow. It's a very encouraging thing. If we can learn about how to improve the soil, then nature does it. So given the right constituents and microorganisms in the soil, we can produce food. So it's a note of optimism.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. If you have questions or comments, email me at fittoeatnl@gmail.com. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The music for today's show was Sunny's Dream, written and sung by Ron Hines, as requested by Jane and Brian Yeager. The theme music, Cluckold Hen, was done this week by The Shots. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications with the support of the Newfoundland Labrador Federation of Agriculture and Food First NL. I'm Ivan Imke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.